Shalom Yehudim, Shalom Lebnei Noach, Shalom Megoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Yud Beis B'Tammuz, Tav Shinai, and Hey, Parashas Balak, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 28 June 2015, webcasting from the land of the people that dwells alone. This is the week of Parashat Balak, in which the Gentile prophet, Jews recognize the existence of other prophets who can speak the words of God. This prophet looks out from a high promontory just over the Jordan River at the million-plus children of Israel encamped below in the plains of Moab and says, this will be a people that dwells alone and not be counted among the nations. Interesting coincidences here in this regard. Just yesterday we read Parashas Chukas, which contains the most stunning flash-forward in the Torah, a leap in time of 40 years between verses, to the last year of the wilderness generation, when Miriam dies and Aharon dies and Moses strikes the rock and is denied entry to the promised land. Victorious battles are fought with the peoples on the east bank. And this coming week, judging by events at the end of last week, we will find Israel today, as Bilam prophesied, alone. Let's see, last week the Michael Oren book stirred up bad feelings about the book, about him, as he put it, in an interview with the Jerusalem Post in Friday's edition, in which he observed that all his critics focus on him. They claim he wants to sell books and not on the substance of his complaint. U.S. Ambassador Daniel Shapiro exposed himself as a true red, white, and blue Jew boy when he called Oren a liar and delusional. Oren responded, quote, I wish I were delusional. I wish the U.S. administration had not negotiated behind our back with our worst enemy, and made a deal almost universally seen in Israel as a bad one. Indeed, the current occupant of the Oval Office has not only abandoned us, he's arming this generation's number one terrorist state that has shamelessly toyed with the idea in public of destroying us from the atomic bomb, God forbid. Oren told the Post in responding to his critics, quote, we always heard from Obama, I'm not bluffing about a military option for Iran. And then early this month, he told Yonit Levy on Israeli TV, there really is no military option against Iran. Of course, this man has gone through life with that big, phony smile exploiting the white man's liberal guilt for his history of racist oppression, sailing through every day, every moment, by lying. He's one of the greatest liars I've ever seen. You can find 26 videos of him saying, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, when he knew this was not true. Following Fort Hood, he said Islam had nothing to do with the carnage. And here is Michael Oren pointing to his constant lying to Israel, saying, we've got your back. He has fooled so many people and continues to do that. Today, Yair Lapid was on board with his belief that Obama has truly been the best president for Israel for his increased military assistance and cooperation. Lapid here is just oblivious to the shell game Obama has played with us. Yes, he's authorized more warplanes, munitions, and whatnot, but he does not care about any of that. That's just a diversion. All he cares about is getting Iran the bomb. He has acted like a Muslim, leastwise in that memorable interview with Bill O'Reilly when the IRS scandal broke and he denied there was even a smidgen of corruption. Another truly patriotic president would say he was disturbed by the allegations and would get to the bottom of it, but not Obama. It was a response in the same league with Fort Hood. Shameless denial. And of course, he has lately been playing the I will abandon you to the tender mercies of the Security Council game. He threatens to not veto a resolution to destroy Israel and as South Africa was destroyed, if we do not do as he demands. On a Friday, we were further isolated in the world by the successor to the Caesars, the Pope of Rome, who was photographed embracing the Holocaust-denying head of the PLO as they signed off on the church recognition of Palestinian sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. Those are the names in the New Testament, which he does not use. He uses the cover-up names West Bank. And I would also include in this list of abandonments the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court on Friday to dump the Bible into the garbage can and declare male-to-male sodomy the equivalent of normal conjugal relations between a man and a woman. Mike Huckabee got it right in saying the court has declared war on Christianity, and for sure, it's to the Jewish text Christians look for their views on this behavior. I don't think there's anything on the subject in their Greek texts appended to our Tanakh, versus the Tanakh, which is clear that this behavior is a major no-no. Via the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God vaporizes the people and their towns. And I think the Lord does this and did this because there's nothing more godlike among man than the creation of new life, a new baby, another person. As God created Adam and Eve, he endowed every man and woman, excluding the statistically insignificant minority of those born with defects in the matter of reproduction, every man and woman has the capability to create life. It's an activity unique for its physical pleasure. Someone once said there may be things better than sex, but nothing quite like it. And it is no coincidence that the peak coincides with the expulsion of seed from the male to the female, seed programmed to seek out an egg to mate with and create a new human being. Only for the men of Sodom and the ladies all alone on their island of Lesbos, that pleasure and that creation are torn apart. The men, in particular, spill their seed, not into the body of a woman, a womb man, a human with a womb, but into another man's bodily orifices. This is a kind of theft, pleasure without creation, and the subsequent responsibility for years to take care and nurture what a husband and wife have brought into the world. And for sure, what a shanda, that's Yiddish for shame, that three of the five judges on that court come from the children of Israel, as they voted for so-called the gay marriage. And note the dishonesty of the language that people use nowadays. Gay was originally a code word among Sodomites. The old word sodomite in the Oxford English Dictionary was eclipsed. The sodomites, in search of partners, would use the word gay to seek out partners for their vice. Now, there's another word that we never hear anymore, vice. Notice the semantic infiltration of the words gay and gay marriage, whose purpose is to cover up the old word, which was descriptive of the behavior that such sex addicts engage in, and I have no doubt that is what all these aberrations are, addictions. A little different from heroin addiction. On Friday, Washington classical Jewish morality was abandoned, and we classical Jews are more alone than ever. Not only are we pariahs now for our old-fashioned morality in this regard, much worse, we are, for holding on to it, bigots, cruel and intolerant of gay people. And I think there's some kind of connection between this moral turpitude on display in the West last Friday, that and the Pope's embrace of Abu Mazen, the Holocaust-denying murder of Jews, and the seemingly well-coordinated massacre of people in France, Kuwait, and Tunisia by a satanic, uncivilized, barbaric, Hamitic, antediluvian cult of brutes with their fakakta, that's another Yiddish word I won't translate, religion of Islam. Hundreds of people murdered within hours of one another. The bombing and beheading in France, the exploding mosque in Kuwait, and the raking with machine gun fire of British and German tourists on a beach in Sousse, Tunisia, on vacation. 20 slaughtered there. I spent a night in Sousse, 32 years ago. Tunisia has two major industries, olive trees and tourism, olives, olive oil and tourism. It's the most welcoming to tourists on the old Barbary shore, thanks to the wisdom of Habib Bourguiba, who took the country into independence in 1956, versus the Algerians, who are pathological xenophobes, and the Libyans, whose desert landscape has nothing to say for itself except the oil beneath it. I think ISIS struck at Sousse because Tunisia has become unique in having a democratic election that reduced the power of the Islamists. Islam is a religion of submission and slavery, whose devotees assume the position of slaves when they pray. They hate liberty, hate the liberal democracies, and want to wreck Tunisia by wrecking its tourist industry. Islam is on the march. And one can only hope that West wakes up sooner rather than later. And I still think there's some connection between the collapse of biblical morality, sexual morality over the last half century in the West, and aggression by Islam, whose culture is truly, sexually speaking, really screwed up.
Hello.
On the Gatestone website on Friday, there was another excellent piece by their Bassam Tawil, which I'll bet is a pseudonym, for an Arab who lives in Judea and Samaria, who sees the truth and writes the truth. His topic this time is the French initiative, the Fabius initiative, to draft the resolution for the U.S. Security Council, in order, he believes, to soothe the savage breasts of the Muslims in France, especially the Muslim brothers, who, in his words, are waiting for the order to run riot through the streets of France. Otherwise, he finds no logical reason for the French drive to call into being a Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria. Such a state, Tawil says, would be both unstable and prey to local and regional subversion. Indeed, in truth, the phantom nation of Palestinians has always been a front for numerous Arab states, and in the 70s and 80s, the Soviet Union no less. The truth is that the Arabs in Judea and Samaria and Gaza are complete slaves of their backers abroad in Arabia and Islam, the powers in Qatar and Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey, none of whom gives a damn about creating yet another Arab state. All they care about is harassing and ultimately destroying the Jewish free state, God forbid. If by some miracle all the Arabs in Judea and Samaria and Gaza tomorrow would put on a smile and choose peace with Israel, their backers abroad would not let them. They would not support them. They'd cause trouble for them. The PLO originally was invented by Nasser in 1959 as a front organization for Egypt, for himself, to continue terror attacks against Israel after the 1956 Sinai campaign, when his army was humiliated a second time by Israel. The Palestinian identity has always been a tactic, never a real factor. Behind this phantom nation in our time is Islam, and Islam today is no closer to accepting the right of Jews to freedom and liberty in their own country than Islam ever was. Which is why the fantasy of a Palestinian state nurtured by such as the French is nothing but a plot against Israel. Such as Fabius and Obama and all the rest of the two-staters, they foster a fantasy of a Palestinian state whose people want only that state and have no desires to continue their murderous violence against the Jews once they have it. This, of course, is utter nonsense, and many players among the Muslims are open about that. Only in the fever swamps of the Jewish left, with their muddled brains, is there a belief that all the Palestinians really want and would be satisfied with is that cute little state next door. And I say, even if that were true, it's meaningless, for they are not the masters of their own fate, but the puppets of others, driven by their hatred of Israel, within any boundaries. Bassam Tawil claims that the French initiative is not a benevolent gesture to help the Palestinians. He says surely French intelligence knows that the Palestinian Authority only survives thanks to its cooperation with Israel, and without that backing, left to their own devices, the Arabs in these areas would in a trice turn into another ISIS state, another homicidal lunatic Muslim regime. In 2006, the famous nation builder Condoleezza Rice called for elections, apparently utterly ignorant of the elections in Algeria in the early 90s and the subsequent carnage there between the government and the Muslims, who won the election, and then the day after the government canceled the results because the Islamists had won, and then you had a decade of slaughter. And today, opinion polls here in Arab Judea and Samaria continue to reflect the popular support for Hamas over Fatah. That's more Muslim Brotherhood stuff. Islam is on the march, and it would be no different here were Israel to relinquish control of Judea and Samaria. Thus, the pursuit of the two-state solution is an impossibility for Israel. Fabius has to know this at some level of awareness, and so what he is up to is placating the Muslims in France, in fear of a serious explosion by them. You go through the motions of feeding the Jews to the lions, and this way he hopes he buys at least some time. Make no mistake, Islam is on the march, and we see this not only in the horrors of last Friday, 200 dead on three continents, but in the continuing demands of Muslims, which not coincidentally I think track with the demands of the Sodomites. Both of them are intolerant of those who do not think their ideas and their behaviors. Today, Gatestone ran another truly disturbing piece on a legal case in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where Christian pastor James McConnell, 78 years old, is being prosecuted for delivering a sermon which he called Islam heathen and satanic. He's facing 6 months in jail for grossly offensive speech. As the author of this piece, Soren Kern, points out, there are other cases like this in the UK, only none of them concern the lunatic ravings of Muslims during their sermons in their mosques. They're left alone. Pastor McConnell called Allah a cruel deity, a demon deity, and Islam a doctrine spawned in hell. I like the words of Musab Hassan Yusuf, the son of the Hamas leader in Judea and Samaria, who collaborated with the Mossad, or rather the GSS. He too said the problem with Islam is its deity, who is a cruel deity. Anyway, Pastor McConnell, for his beliefs, faces time in the slammer because the Muslims object to his views of their beliefs and practices. How reminiscent this is of the aggressor sodomites who have driven small businessmen out of business for refusing to join them in their sexual delusions. And who knows now what will happen in the States in a variety of arenas as empowered and emboldened sodomites demand the imposition of their desires on everyone else. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And that was Psalm 100. On the home front since last webcast, we had yet another in the endless attempts to murder Jews last Friday in the Jordan River Valley at the Bikot checkpoint about 30 kilometers south of Beit Shean. For some time now, the soldiers there, stationed there, have belonged to a Haredi unit of reservists who responded properly when suddenly they were fired upon by what the MSM here stupidly called a Palestinian. When there's nothing Palestinian about such people and everything Arabic and Muslim about them. The soldiers emerged from the attack unscathed. The Muslim did not. He was seriously wounded. And then last night near Beit El, north of Jerusalem, a Magen David ambulance driving along innocently was raked with gunfire and struck like a dozen times. Again, thank God no one inside was injured. There really is no end to it, and I suspect there will be no end to it until Israel does tshuva and reverses course. And by reversing course, I mean Israel finally embraces its Jewish identity to the full, which it never has. In many ways, secular Zionism was rebellion against that identity. Last night, for a few minutes, I channel surfed and came across a rock group doing a number here in Israel somewhere. Music lacking all local color. A group, a cheesy imitation of grating American rock and roll at its worst, played by musicians likewise indistinguishable in their appearance, their clothes, and wild hair from similar groups around the world. Once upon a time, secular Israelis had their own look and culture, but that went out with Oslo, and in came the high and by culture of universality. This is the reversal I want to see, this full embrace of one's Jewishness. That's Torah identity is also a problem of the ruling class and the ruling elite here to this day, including even the prime minister, all of whom refuse to declare publicly that Judea and Samaria are rightfully Israeli land, and there will be no more talk of giving up even one square meter of it. The country is expecting this week the arrival of another flotilla of anti-Semites pretending to love the ancient ones, which is camouflage for their age-old hatred of Jews, and one reason they come is the fatal error made by the prime minister at Bar-Ilan. When he returned to the prime ministership after more than a decade, at that time he admitted, yes, the Palestinians deserve a state in Judea and Samaria under certain conditions, and so long as Israel abides by this policy, it will be the target of anti-Jews demanding that Israel follow through on its recognition of the rightness of Palestinian sovereignty in the heart of the Promised Land. Three Sabbaths ago, we read of the Meraglim, the 12 scouts, who scouted out the land and then reported back, at least 10 of them, that they did not want to take possession of the land promised to them, the children of Israel. And here we are, over 3,000 years later, almost 50 years after the Six-Day War, and Israel continues to refuse to claim Judea and Samaria as rightfully ours. It's rightfully ours according to the laws of the Gentiles, according to what even Aristotle called natural law, and of course, most important, according to the laws and law book, capital B, of this people that has kept it alive. What a different world it will be when Israel finally reverses course and takes up arms against the anti-Semitic myth of a Palestinian nation with rights to statehood in our promised land, and Israel starts demanding respect for the Jewish people's rights instead of trying to placate our enemies near and far. Thank you. Okay, that's it for this evening, this first evening of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.